And you are right back with me, Gerine, on the Power Hour, KC107.7 this evening. And the number to join in the conversation is 082-414-1077 on this beautiful Thursday evening. Today, I have the privilege of speaking with an extraordinary woman, Manette Griffiths. She's not just a mother and a grandmother. She's someone who has lived through a life-altering moment that split her world in two. The first moment made her hard. The second made her faithful. This is a story of deep loss, raw grief, unwavering love, and the kind of grace that gives you the strength to stand again. Manette, welcome to the Power Hour on KC107.7. How are you doing?
I'm good, Gerine. Just very cold, but we're all good. Thank you very much.
So you, where you are, is it as cold as it is here in Paul?
No, I think we're a bit warmer than you guys, Danny, because you've got the rain. We've just got a little bit of wind, but no rain.
And how's the boys doing?
They are great. They're having Fruit Loops or chocolate pockets or something because they can't granny. So, again, they refuse to eat the supper that granny cooked. Well, they had some of it, and then the dog got the rest, and it was Fruit Loops or the chocolate pockets that won the race at the end of the day.
But you can expect that at their age.
Oh, no, but it's very frustrating. You cook and you cook, and then they want Fruit Loops.
Honestly. I have a nine-year-old. I've got the same problem. He only eats toast.
Well, that's easier to make than, you know, making meat or chicken and vegetables and rice, and then they sit there and develop it. Yeah. And you think, you know, this dog is so lucky, you know?
So true. Right?
And then they go for the Fruit Loops.
Anyway, Manette, you described that first moment in March 1998 as the day your world shattered. Can you take us back to that time and share how that loss changed you as a person?
Yes, you know, I was so young. I was 29 years old. My daughter and I were sleeping. We got a phone call about half past four in the morning that we needed to get to the house. It was the 15th of March. And when I got there, her dad, Adrian, his cousin came out, Cynthia, and she said to me, AD's been in an accident. And me thinking, okay, you know, let's go and do crisis control. How bad can it be? And then she said, no, AD's dead. You know, that was my first love. That was my daughter's father. Yeah, he was 31 years old. It was a very, very, very horrific car accident. You know, up until today, if I relive that moment, you know, it was disbelief. It was confusion. And anger immediately set in. I was just so angry at the world. Why him? So young, you know, and, you know, people talk, and then this one has got this to say, and that one's got that to say about what happened. And then the inquest cleared him, but, you know, the anger stayed with me for so long. My daughter back then it was a month before her 11th birthday that her dad passed away. And, you know, I just had so much anger and hatred and vengeance in me. And, you know, I went I started living a life of an irresponsible life, for a better word. And it took me about 4 years to just work through that and get to a certain point of acceptance. And, you know, up until recently, that still basically ruled my life. The why him? You know, we were so young, you know, raising my daughter on my own. You know, it was just unbelievable, you know, that, you know, your heart shatters into pieces and you think, you know, I'm never going to be the same again. I couldn't listen to songs on the radio. I mean, I avoided that road until 2008, you know, but, you know, I survived it. I won't say that I had strength. I think I was very weak to have acted the way I did. And I carried a lot of pain. But I had my daughter, and together we pulled each other through it. And eventually we could talk about it, and laugh about things he did and things he didn't do. And, you know, it became like a little ritual, you know, on the anniversary of his death, on Father's Day, on his birthday. We'd go to West Park, we'd put flowers, and I'll sit and talk to him. And sometimes I fought with him, you know, but I made my peace. But I was angry for a lot of years. And the only person it harmed was me and my daughter, because you become so embedded in that anger and hatred that you forget to live your life.
Wow, Manette, firstly, I want to say I'm really sorry for your loss. I mean, losing someone that you love, that your partner, at such a young age, it does rattle your world totally. And your anger, it was fine to be angry, because I know that's a part of the grieving process. So I'm really sorry for that part that you've gone through. Now, Manette, when you lost your daughter in 2022, you say something inside you shifted. You felt silence, not rage. What do you think made this experience different from the first when you lost your partner? How did that shift emotionally and spiritually?
I think, you know, when I lost Adrian, I'm not going to just put this down to age.
Yeah.
But knowing what I went through when he passed away, you know, I looked at all the years I wasted in being angry and vengeful and hateful, and it didn't bring him back. And on the 7th of June, 2022, it happened 3 kilometers from our front door. She was just on her way to the pharmacy.
Wow.
You know, when I got to the scene of the accident, it didn't look too bad from the passenger side. And they held me back. And eventually when they let me through, I thought, okay, how badly is she injured and all that? But by the time I got around to the car, sorry, my voice is going a bit.
No problem.
He was already in a body bag. I think at worst to worst. I knelt down and I still kissed her. She was still warm. And it was, you know, I can't describe the moment, but I knew kissing that little face that I loved for 35 years. And even praying that it was a mistake, but the reality was that she was gone. And something inside me shifted. What it was, I can't tell you. Inside I was screaming, but I felt calm. I felt a certain sense of acceptance, because I knew in that moment that not even 3 kilometers from there was two little boys. Back then, Lexi was 2 and Lacey was 8. I knew that those two little boys were going to need me more now than what they ever or anybody has ever needed me in their entire life. And by God's grace, he was going to carry me through this. And he was going to give me the strength to survive this time, not to self-destruct, but to love them and nurture them and protect them and also look after me and keep my sanity and keep my faith and not to go on a self-destructive route again like I did when Adrian passed away. And I knew in that moment that anger isn't going to bring her back. Hatred isn't going to bring her back. But acceptance is going to make me better. Acceptance and faith is going to make me a better granny and a role model for those two little heartbeats of mine. Because then, by then, they hadn't known. I mean, they knew there was an accident, but they didn't know their mom had passed away yet. So, you know, in that moment, I think from past experience, I knew anger wasn't going to bring her back, hate wasn't going to bring her back. And I just looked up and I'm like, God, give me strength, you know, help me help them. And help me help myself to this time around do things better. and not to be so bitter.
Well, Manette, I can only say my heart goes out to you, and I've empathy for you, and I don't know how that experience, I can imagine how it shifted your whole life. But on that note, we are quickly going to go to a music break, and then I'm going to be right back. Yeah,
okay.
Because we'll be right back after this.
Come and gone away from Paris or Rome, but I wanna go home. Maybe surrounded by a million people, I still feel all alone. Just wanna go home. Oh, I miss you, you know. And I've been keeping all the letters that I wrote to you, each one in line or two. I'm fine, baby, how are you? Well, I would send them, but I know that it's just not enough. My words were cold and flat, and you deserve more. Another airplane, another sunny place. I'm lucky, I know, but I wanna go home. I got to go home. Let me go home. I'm just too far from where you are. I wanna come home. Someone else's life is like I just stepped outside when everything was going right. And I know just why you could not come along with me. This was not your dream, but you always believed in me. Another winter day has come and gone away in either Paris or Rome, and I wanna go home. Let me go home. And I'm surrounded by a million people, I still feel alone. Let me go home. Oh, I miss you. I'm coming back home.
It was Michael Bublé, I'm coming back home. You are still tuned in with me, Lady G, on the Power Hour on this beautiful Thursday evening with some heartwarming conversations and some powerful and inspirational, I don't even know how to say it, that touch your heart to the core. I'm right back with Manette Griffiths. Manette, wow. I had to take a break after your experience with Maxine. Thank you for sharing that raw truth with us.
Thank you. Thank you, Corinne. Thank you for giving me the opportunity.
Because you don't know who's listening to you. You don't know.
No, I don't.
Exactly. You don't know who needs to hear this tonight. And just on that note, I want to say this interview will be on a podcast on our KC website. So you won't miss a thing if you think you're going to do. But let's get back to this conversation. Manette, you talk about your two grandsons with so much love. How have they helped you heal? And how do they keep the memory of Maxine alive in your everyday life?
No, I'm blessed. No, God took two people away from me. He took Adrian and he took Max. But in return, he blessed me with Leith, who is so much like his grandfather. The looks, the charm. There's even some things that he does that reminds me of Adrian. And Lexi is the spitting image of his mom. The hair, the mannerisms, there's things that they do, you know. So I've been blessed that I've got these two little heartbeats of mine in my life. Some days are challenging, raising two little ones at my tender age of 56. But we love each other. Yes, we fight. Yes, we disagree about supper times. Yes, we disagree about bedtimes. You know, when you feel those little arms around you at night and I love you, Granny, and, you know, it just, you look past all that. And you know that by God's grace, he's given you another day. He's given you another chance in life. And, you know, if it wasn't for these two, I think I would have thrown up my arms and I would have given up on life after my daughter's passing. So I am blessed to have these two little heartbeats in my life. And, you know, the fact that I've got two angels in heaven that shadows me daily, you know, that in itself, you know, it just gives me hope for every day. You know, the first experience made me hard and the second one made me faithful. Because one thing I'm enough, you know, hard being hard and self-destructive doesn't pay. But being faithful and being true to yourself and being true to your man or to the man up there that sees us every day, it gives you strength, you know. And I always say, you know, not when I don't know what to do, because we're busy with court cases for legal guardianship of the boys. You know, I just put it, I say, let God and let go, because I know that everything is going to be good. I know that he's going to make sure the right thing happens. And that's how I live. That's how I live. And, you know, also great people in my life. I met two people last year, November. They came across the path in my life, and I don't know if I'm allowed to mention their names on the radio.
You may.
But may I? It's Beata and Christy Ten Hoff. They have been such an inspiration and strength. I currently work for the Meta NPC, and they've given us a home. They've given us everything that we could want. We live in a spiritually awesome environment. We are safe and we are loved. And I'm eternally grateful to them. And another friend of mine also, Adna, she just stepped up to the plate when this all happened. Whether it's taking me to the court cases or taking me to the shops or, you know, days when things get hard, it's a phone call. Friend, I need help. You know, the kids need medicine. Or something, you know, because after Max's death, I just couldn't see myself going back to work, you know. Unfortunately, corporates don't understand what it's like to deal with something like this. So it's been tough, but, you know, God puts the right people on your path in the right time in your life. I even think back of my time in Cape Town, you know, when I met very, very special people. And I think you can attest to that, Corinne. So, you know, he works in strange ways and we may not always realize it. But eventually the penny drops and we go, oh, that's why you did what you did. Okay, now I understand, you know.
True. God is reasonably funny, you know.
She's got a very good sense.
She's got a weird sense of humor sometimes. You know, Monique, I listen to you, and as I'm listening to you, you inspire me so much. And what you've gone through, I'm in admiration of you. And I want you to take your hand and put it on the shoulder, on your shoulder, and pat yourself on the back and say, you are doing great amongst all these circumstances. I want you to do that. Do look in the mirror and say, wow, I'm doing amazing amongst those circumstances, you know. And that's all I can tell you. I can't say do this, do that. I can just say look in the mirror. Look at that woman that has grown so much and has gone through so much and that has gone from hard to faithful. So lastly, I just want you to leave us with something. I know out there tonight someone is listening to you, because I got many messages when they saw that I'm going to have you on my show. And they said, Gerine, I'll be tuned in tonight.
Gerine, the only thing I could really... The only thing I can really say to anybody is... you know, find a purpose. My purpose is working for this.
Find a purpose.
My purpose is working for this NPC and helping, you know, disabled children or orphans, where we try and brighten their lives. My other purpose is my two grandsons. And you know what? Hold on to the good memories. Rejoice in them. You know, be sad, but always remember that, you know, you can get through this. You know, God created us with resilience, and it's okay to grieve. But always understand that there's purpose, that there is a purpose. And don't feel insignificant. I mean, I feel so insignificant. Like, I don't matter, but
you do.
We all matter. And the impact you can make on one person's life, that in itself is your purpose in life. And we're all worth it, like you said. We all have something. And the pain will subside in time. And I keep on telling myself that every day. And, yeah, that's all I can say.
Yo, Manette, thank you so much for your
facing
rawness.
The court cases that's coming up.
Thank you so much. It was just an amazing chatting to you. And I want to tell you, you know what? The angels are dancing. They are dancing in heaven.
Amazing chatting to you as well.
But
thank you for
have
your
a
time.
Blessed evening, and give a kiss to the boys. And keep warm, keep safe. And thank you.
I will. They've been so good. They've been so quiet. I gave them. Thank you, Gerine.
Have a blessed evening, Manette. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Have a blessed evening. Bye-bye.